interest of Michael R. Good morning.
Good morning. Whenever you're ready, sorry.
We're ready.
Okay. When juveniles are young and they're learning some of the cues and indicators of sexual interest, it's difficult for them to navigate that field. In this case, it makes it especially difficult because what we have here is an attempt crime, which looks at the intent from all the circumstances of what the accused intended to do. And we have another, I think, wrinkle in this case because we're dealing with without consent. What is an indication about without consent in this circumstance and with this attempt type of conduct? And I think it's really kind of, these principles, I think, guide it. It's somewhat fact-driven in this case because of all the attendant circumstances around these interactions. Michael and Haley had been somewhat interacting or doing various things since they had been freshmen in ninth grade. As sophomores, they became more engaged in activity from rubbing the back, playing with the hair, kind of hugging, all these kind of things that indicate maybe more than just a friendly relationship, potentially some type of romantic interest possibly. And so as this progresses, you know, there's some of that banter that comes back and forth with that, and there's some extension of a hand towards the breast. There's kind of a taking it, putting it on the back, continue rubbing it. And so when you look at those circumstances, what a reasonable person would be, especially when you're talking a reasonable juvenile, a reasonable person of 15 years old, is that an indication of potential more romantic interest versus an indication of without consent? And so this kind of conduct goes not to complete the action, not to, once there's a reach, there's kind of an arm nudge, I think, back, and it moves and puts it on the back, excuse me, which is an indication maybe of it's not without consent. But then at that point, this conduct kind of ceases and stops. And so you have to, once again, I think, look at the circumstances surrounding the incident, which is these interactions between the juveniles before and or during this instance and during the year of how this kind of went on, and even subsequent to that. Even after this incident, the interactions where they continued to hug and touch each other, but there was an indication at that point that nothing beyond that was to occur, and nothing did occur after that point. And so that's what I think in this case, which makes it so difficult as we have an attempt, is the mere reaching, playfulness, those things for people who are learning those kind of cues, an indication of a step to commit the crime. And I think under the circumstances, it doesn't indicate that they had an intention, to commit the crime. It's an indication of expressing a desire or an interest to them. And when that desire is not reciprocated or is somehow redirected, then that's definitely, and where there's no follow through towards that, it's an indication that there's not an intent to commit the crime.
Counsel, isn't that where the evidence differs, though, is whether there was additional efforts after the first pushing away of his hand?
I think a little bit, except for it's the kind of things of, I still put my hand and rub the back. I still want him to braid and rub my hair. I mean, this almost looks somewhat like the, you know, a little flirtatious type of activity if you were looking at it from the outside.
But wasn't her testimony that he reached around, I believe, two more times after she pushed his hand away and touched her breast?
I thought it was that he did it once or twice more after that, but it was a redirection to other parts of her body. And the reaching, I think, with that stopping where she's indicating kind of, that doesn't seem to indicate that he's trying to complete a crime of sexual contact. It's only an indication of expressing that kind of interest under the circumstances. And that's why I think this case is somewhat difficult, because we're talking the attempt, and it's the intention of the actor under those circumstances, what they believe they were doing. And he wasn't trying to complete that without consent.
Counsel. Yeah. Michael testified that he attempted to try and touch her breast.
Yes, he did.
He testified to that,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And then he said that once she pushed him away, that he stopped.
Right.
She said, no, he tried on several occasions, even after I pushed him away. That's the testimony, correct?
I think she said that, but I think if you look at some of it, is he tried to, she moved his hand to her back or moved it to, so how all that kind of plays into that is not clear.
So isn't that a question of fact then for the juvenile court judge here?
It is a question of fact for the juvenile court judge, but I think when you've got to take because of an attempt, you have to look at all those, excuse me, I'm sorry. You have to look at all those facts and circumstances that go from beginning of the year to the end of the year to the interactions to how they were interacting with each other, these kind of things that went on. And yes, she may have, I think she pulled it off once, then she kind of put her arm down, and then she nudged. Well, that's consistent, I think, with both people's testimony. I don't know that the facts are largely in dispute. I think maybe some of the timing may be explained differently. So I agree. In terms of the facts, we defer to the court. But I think when you look at the facts, do these facts rise to the level of proving that there was an intent on the part of the accused to commit the crime of an unwanted sexual contact? And I think that's what causes some problem here, is we have to look at both the actions but also the intent of the juvenile in making those type of actions or reaching for that type of
So, counsel, your position would be that even if you buy her side of the story as opposed to his, there's still not enough?
Yes.
In that record?
Yes. Yes. I think the facts are generally, for the most part, I think, pretty close. I mean, there might be a one or two that are small. But even taking the facts on either side, I don't think that demonstrates his intent to commit a crime of an unwanted touching. I mean, it's his intent on the circumstances as he believed that he intended to commit that final act of committing that crime. And I think that's what's important when we're evaluating how that applies in this circumstance. And that's why that I think that makes this such an interesting or difficult case, because there's so many little layers of attempt without consent, how all those things kind of interact in this type of situation.
If he attempted to touch her breast, which he testified that he did,
yes,
and she shut him down and said, stop, push them away, or whatever, if he continued to do that, that would be attempted third degree.
I think she said stop, yes. But kind of a nudge under those circumstances, what is a nudge? Does that mean I'm just kind of playing, or does that mean I don't want you to do it? I mean, once again, under the circumstances that he's involved with, and we're talking 15-year-olds, once again, people who are just learning maybe some of these things and the appropriateness and not, and so you have to take that into consideration as well. Any other questions? Otherwise, I'll reserve my time for rebuttal.
No further questions at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Panel ready?
Yes.
All right. Well, as you know from the docket, I am Danielle Larson. I'm the Chief Deputy County Attorney for Scottsbluff County, and we are here today on behalf of the state to ask that you affirm the trial court. As opposing counsel has sort of indicated in his opening statements to you or his argument, the state doesn't believe that the trial court erred in finding there was sufficient evidence, and in fact believes this is really just a second attempt to argue the lack of consent. I think the facts of this case are a little bit more in dispute than the appellant would concede. As the court pointed out, this was a case where the victim in her testimony stated that she had to move his hand. I think her testimony was like three or four times because he wasn't getting the hint, and he continued to attempt to reach forward and touch her breast. I believe the juvenile in this case talked about their relationship as being very friendly. They spent a lot of time together. They talked about hugging. Her recollection was that they were mere acquaintances, that they spent a lot of time together because they were forced to. They had four classes together in the Gehring school system through the Black schooling system. So I would submit that the argument here that the juvenile stopped or that this was just a playful interaction does not match either the facts or the law. The first fact, of course, being their characterization of the relationship. This wasn't a couple that was in a relationship. This wasn't a situation where she was even interested in this juvenile, as per her testimony, that they were just acquaintances.
Would it matter if he felt otherwise, if he felt that they were in a relationship, but she did not?
No, because I think she made it quite clear that they weren't. And even if you are in a relationship, it's not an exception to the requirement of consent. The other issue that I find standing kind of a huge glaring issue is where this took place. This didn't take place at somebody's house or at a movie theater. This took place in a school classroom during the educational day on two separate occasions. The first before the Christmas break, where she rebuffed him, she testified with her arm, and then he tried again the second part after the Christmas break, where he continued to move forward and she testified she had to be more aggressive in using her whole hand to move his hand back.
Had she made any complaints after the first attempt?
Verbally?
To any of the authorities or anybody?
I don't know that that came into evidence. I believe, given the context that there was more than one sex assault charged on this petition, I think it sort of snowballed. One girl went to the authorities and then it kind of opened up the can of worms with everybody else who had experienced this, if I recall the facts correctly. She described the whole interaction as making her uncomfortable. I think that was the opening lead-in to asking her to testify about these. Were there ever situations that you felt uncomfortable or awkward with? And she defined it as making her feel helpless. And then as it goes back to this characterization of just a reasonableness of juveniles are trying to learn, you know, sexual interaction, to read interest, I think the quote that really stands out from the trial court is, I'm going to reiterate how, quite honestly, the testimony and the evidence I have heard today, even taken at the juvenile's word as to what happened, is extremely disturbing. So I think when you step back and you look at this as to reasonable adolescents in their interactions, I don't think that matches the facts we have in this case. The other issue I think this position from the appellant raises is a question of law. And the idea that I was mistaken or I thought differently has never been a defense. I'm really bad at reading how impaired I am is not a defense to a DUI. I'm really bad at reading how I communicate has never been a defense to a terroristic threat cases. I think for me, the gist of this case comes down that your actions can't come at the expense of someone else. And she testified that this entire situation made her feel helpless. So my argument, and I think the facts support the conclusion here that this defendant continued to reach for an intimate area for this victim's breast after she clearly indicated her lack of consent through her actions.
Do you think it, your position is there is a divergence in the evidence between the juvenile's testimony and the victim's testimony, so does that become a matter of credibility then, and did the trial court make any credibility findings?
I think it absolutely becomes a question of credibility, and the court did, actually. The quote I have from the judge in this was, quote, I find that the female victim's testimony was credible and believable, and that was on page 289 of the record, and then as it pertained to the juvenile on the next page, 290, I just want to make it clear, Michael, I'm not saying that I believe you. Any more questions from the court, or I'll see my time.
We have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Island have remaining?
2 minutes and 25 seconds.
Thank you.
And I want to just respond. After this first pre-Christmas break, there is no complaints or anything that comes up about it. And in fact, if I remember correctly, she's not a person that brought this up. It was somebody else, and they said, well, maybe talk to somebody. And they talked to some people. Maybe they found some things that they felt weren't proper, or other people said that they weren't. So we've got this period of time where these interactions continue, and that's why I'm saying when you look at the whole thing, you have to consider that. I think that maybe outlines your question. The other thing is we're dealing with attempt, and attempt does go to your state of mind. Attempt goes to whether or not I intend to culminate in the actual crime. And so you have to look at the intent of the juvenile, of the circumstance of what he did, and the whole all these interactions. And while she thought maybe that it was more of acquaintances, he obviously felt it was more from his testimony because of the interactions and how they were interacting. Once again, maybe not properly have that, but he never tried to force the issue with her indication of not wanting to have that interaction. And in fact, I think the record's clear that after she had said, I don't want to have you touch me like that, all of a sudden, there was never an attempt to do anything after that. So her expression of lack of consent led to no further attempts at any type of more intimate contact.
But could you infer intent from her testimony that after she made it clear she didn't desire that touching, that She says he continued to do it.
Right. She said she was kind of nudging and he wasn't getting the hint. A hint is, that's the problem. What does a hint to you and to I mean? What does it take for either one of us to get that hint? And for him, it took something more, I think, of really kind of, I mean, it sounds like this was initial just kind of almost a little nudge or a little pushback or put the arm on the back. It sounds like it's not sufficient to convey that information to Michael. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both. Your case is submitted and you are excused.